Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hi, this is Rachel Berkovitz coming to you from Jerusalem. This is Unit 9 of 20, in which we're learning all the Mishnayot of Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we have finally reached the Mishnah, in which we are going to sanctify the new moon. After all this, after hearing about what happens beforehand with the witnesses coming, and after hearing about what happens afterwards to get the news out to the rest of the nation, we are going to find out what actually happens in the procedure of the sanctification, and it's going to be shockingly short. Okay, we're going to jump in to Mishnah number 7. Here we go. Rosh Beit Din Omer Mekudash, the head of the court, which is identified as the Nasi, as the head of the entire Jewish people. We're going to see specifically that said clearly in a moment in the next Mishnah. So we've encountered the Nasi of Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken, who made a decree in the Mishnayot beforehand. We've encountered the Nasi of Rabbi Gamliel Diavna, his grandson that we encountered in the first chapter. And we're going to encounter Rabbi Gamliel Diavna in a moment in our next Mishnah. But at the moment, the person is anonymous. Just the head of the court, it's not a specific head, says Mekudash, that the new month is sanctified. Right? This was after, just in the Mishnah beforehand, we tested two witnesses. They had the same testimony. They described the moon in the same location in the sky. It all made scientific sense, and their words and their edut kayemet were accepted. And now we can, it is the head of the court. It's not just the court. The head of the court is the one that says the phrase, this new month is sanctified. Right? And this is interesting. It's not just an announcement. This is the new month. This is the first day. It is that there is sanctity in this month. And that's for every single month, right? It's not just Nisan or Tishrei that we saw in the first chapter, but every single month has sanctity in it and is going to determine our calendar. And then what's interesting is the next line of the Mishnah. V'chol ha'am onim acharav mekudash mekudash. And the entire the entire nation responds after him, answers after him, it is sanctified, it is sanctified. And so it is this sort of dual relationship between the two parts, between the court and the nation that we've seen the whole way through, is represented in the very act of the sanctification itself, that the court makes a statement, the court judged the witnesses to be true and honest in making correct facts. The head of the court makes the statement that this sanctifies it, and then it is sealed by a response, in fact, a double, right? When I say something twice, it sort of emphasizes it by a double response. Now, obviously, Kol Ha'am, the whole nation isn't there. We know the whole nation isn't there. Half of them are in Babylonia, and part of them are in Syria, and some of them are outside of Jerusalem, right? And some of them are stuck in the courtyard. I presume it tells us, first of all, that there are people who come to the court to hear this, right? Besides the witnesses, it sounds like there are people who come to the court to hear this exciting moment, and that it is a communal responsibility, right? By saying the whole nation that's there responds, states that it's a communal responsibility, and partially maybe why we see in the beginning of the chapter them lighting up all their torches like one big bonfire is maybe their picture response, their active response to this idea. They can't say Mekudash, Mekudash because they're not there, but they can do a different action. And that's it. Two lines to tell us what happens. Very short, very to the point. This is the first time I think we have this word Kedushah in this text. And it's first said by the Beit Din's head, by the Rosh, right? We have another use of the word Rosh. We've had a few different, we have to think about that, a few different meanings of this. This is the head of the court. And then we have the responding with a double sanctification afterwards. And then the Mishnah continues, telling you something about the timing of this ritual that they do. It says, Bein shinira bizmano, bein shalonira bizmano, makdishimoto. Whether the moon, whether the Levana was seen by the witnesses, Bizmano, in his time, right? It actually can't be modifying the word levana, that's feminine. It must be modifying the word chodesh, right? So that was another change we saw in this Mishnah that I didn't actually spend time thinking about, right? Up until now, it's been called the chodesh. That's what the moon's been called, the chadash, the new. In our chapter, we had it called the levana, the white, and it was feminine. Now here, it's referring back to the masculine, which must be referring to the word chodesh. And so whether it's seen in its time, so its time is the following. I'll repeat this. I think I've said it once before. Lunar months have different lengths. Minimally, they have to be 29 days. That's the minimum a lunar month can have. And I think from a scientific perspective, it's like, it's exact. It's 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and some 3 seconds or something. I don't know how many seconds. I don't remember. But the way it plays out in our life is that we have full days. So it either could be, and so some months it's going to be 29 days to the month, and then what could have been 30 is really going to be day number one. Or some months it's going to be 30 days, and that what day could have been 31 will be day one. And so I don't know. That's what I'm waiting to find out. Was this going to be, this old month, going to be a 29-day month or a 30-day month? So after the 29th day, the night, which either can be night of 30 or night of 31, depending on if I see the new moon. If I saw it bismano, that's considered that first possible time of sighting, the night of the 30th, which then would, if I saw it, would turn into the first. That's considered bismano. So if I see it on that first possible night, or if I see it on the low bismano, on the next possible night, either time, the court does its ritual of sanctifying. The court does its ritual of sanctifying. And we're going to understand the meaning of this when we see that there's a differing in opinion. Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok omers, im lo nira bizmano, ein maktishimoto. He says, no, I disagree. If you see it on the night of the 30th, then the court has to actively sanctify and the am needs to respond. But if I don't see it that first night and I only see it on the second night, right? If you don't see it on the first night, you're 100% going to see it on the second night unless like there's a cloudy sky. It can't be pushed off any further. Nature works in a regular cycle, right? We had that word regilim also of regular behavior. We want to, the moon is regular. And so if it doesn't come on the night of the 29th, it's going to come on the night of the 30th for sure. So he says on the night of the 29th, we make an active sanctification. If it doesn't come on the night after the 29th, which would have been the 30th, so really there's 30 days. So now I'm on night 31, right? Then we don't do any active sanctification. Why? Shekvar kichuhu shamayim. Because shamayim, the sky, has already sanctified him, right? The heavenly court, as opposed to the earthly court, has already done it, right? And there's definitely a play on the word Shemayim, because obviously the moon is in Shemayim, is in the sky. But the word Shemayim also refers to the divine, right? That the divine has already sanctified it, because of the way the divine has set up the lunar cycle, it can't be any farther than that. It's for sure the new month. We don't need to do anything, okay? So actually, Rebbe Elazar ben Tzadok, I understand. What's fascinating is the Tanakhama is the first majority view opinion, right? Because the first majority view opinion says no. Right? And this was a theme that we've seen this whole way through. The Jewish people have to be active. Sanctification only happens with an active verbal statement of holiness on behalf of the court and the nation as one. And then the moon is sanctified. I don't care about what God does in nature and the regular cycle of the moon. The people have to act. And Rebbe Elazar ben Tzadok says, well, I have to act when I'm not sure, when there's some, could be this, could be that. But if it's naturally going to happen, God does something. Okay, so that's Mishnah number 7. Now we're going to come to Mishnah number 8 that is definitely linked to this idea about people acting. And in some ways, it seems like this is one of the Mishnahs that's out of order because we're going to go back. We're going back to testing the Eidim, back to testing the witnesses. And possibly we can suggest a reason. Well, I think we want to end. Remember, I told you the chapter opens with two sort of disputes and threats of authority to the court, and it's going to close with two threats of authority to the court. We're going to see it right here, but let's understand what's happening. Okay, Mishnah Chet 8. Dmut tzurot levavot hayu lo l'Rabban Gamliel batavla ubakotel ba'aliyato. Images and shapes of moons. Now we're back to the feminine moon. Rabban Gamliel had on a tablet, on a chart, on the wall of his upper story in his attic. Okay. Shebehem mar'et ha'hediyot v'omer ha'kazeh ra'ita ha'kazeh. That what did he do with these charts? He would say to the hedyot are like the ordinary, the unlearned, the average Joe Schmo, right? Average Joe Schmo person. I'm average Joe Schmo person. When I tried to read those questions to you before, in front of the sun, behind the sun, north, south, right? I got all confused. I had no idea what was going on. And I tried to read on the internet lots of things. The average person doesn't fully understand these things. But the average person know what they saw. So if he holds up a picture and says, did the moon look like this or did it look like this? Was it in this part of the sky or was it in that part of the sky? Right? I don't have to imagine it in my mind when they're asking me questions. I can like visually see it on the chart. Right? And then he just says, like, did you see it like this or did you see it like that? Like, pick out the picture of how it worked. And that makes it much simpler. Right? We are now with Rabban Gamliel. We're in Yavna. We're post-destruction. We originally were in the Chatzer in Yerushalayim with his grandfather. We were pre-destruction. We were in Jerusalem. They were asking much more complicated questions. It sounds like this is something unique that Rabban Gamliel in Yavna figured out. He thought, this is going to be much more simple. I'll create these charts. And we know that he was very knowledgeable about the science of everything. In fact, already by this time, and we're going to see this, they were able to calculate when the new moon would be based on the science of it. They would know which night would be the night that it would need to be seen, and they would understand the way it would need to be seen in the sky. And so he created a system to make things much easier for the witnesses that were coming. And now we have another story, Maaseh. Remember, we had this word in the first chapter, something that happened. This is what happened one time in Yavna. Sheba ushnayim v'amru, re'inu shacharit b'mizrach v'aravit b'ma'arav. So there once was a time when two witnesses, right, a couple came, and this is what they said, this is what they testified. It sounds like now they're not looking at the charts, maybe because people say things like this, he has a chart, or this is what they said. They said, in the morning, and right, I don't know if you ever noticed, you can sometimes still see the moon in the morning. In the morning, we saw the moon when it was in the east. And then in the evening of that, right, of that same sort of 12-hour light period, we saw it in the west. That's what they say. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Ede Shekerhem. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, you are giving false testimony. I mean, maybe that's what you're claiming you're seeing, but what you're seeing is scientifically impossible. That's what I understand from this. I don't understand everything. Over the course of a month, the moon travels throughout the sky, but not over the course of a day, right? In the beginning of the month, the moon starts in the western sky, and then I think it moves throughout the month, or maybe it takes a whole month to go in a circle, so only in the middle of the month it will be in the eastern sky. But I know it takes time to travel. It is physically impossible, no matter what time of the month it is, for in the morning to be at one side of the sky and the evening to be in the other side of the sky. That's thing number one. Thing number two you need to know is, at the beginning of the month, it's in the western part of the skies. If they're claiming they saw the new moon, the part where they said at night we saw it in the west is the part we're hoping is right. But because they claimed the morning of that same 12-hour period or that they saw it in the east, there's something fishy here. Doesn't make sense. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, not good. Similar to what we saw in the first chapter, where there was like a lower court or a lower or someone who was doing the first, lisanein, that you saw the secretary first or you saw the bouncer first. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri doesn't like what they have to say. For some reason, they continue on because it says kishabau liyavna, right? Maybe still there's this encouragement that everyone should go, even though what you're saying isn't like right. When they reached Yavna, Kiblan Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel accepted their testimony. Okay? So even though what they said is ki'ilu scientifically not possible, and some people are calling them out, Rabban Gamliel's fine. The way that this gets understood traditionally to explain his behavior is that he did the calculation. He knew that the night before, when they claimed they saw it in the west, which is where it's supposed to be, was really the night of the new moon. And so he says, what they claimed they saw in the morning after the sun rose, that was like a cloud. They missaw something. And that's the part that's kind of weird. They probably just didn't know what they're, it's not that they're lying, but they didn't know what they were seeing. It wasn't, they're not that knowledgeable. They didn't see the moon. But I know when they claimed they saw it in the night, that's when it was supposed to be. And so I'll accept their testimony. Okay, which is really interesting. This relation where we thought up until now, the whole point of asking the questions and checking their testimony is that like it's really on the basis of what they said that we're going to establish it. So they better be saying the right thing. Now we find out that like they can kind of say not exactly the right thing. But if you are the Nasi, you can have the power. You can have the authority, right? Just like we've seen the authority that the Nasi can have up until now. He can make takanot. He can make decrees. He can change halakha. Here too in Kiddush HaChodesh, he seems to have some very serious authority. And so even though there are other Rabbanim who are disagreeing, he can accept it. And in the way this story goes, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nori disagrees beforehand. But once Rabbi Gamliel accepts the testimony, it sounds like everyone accepts it. The story doesn't tell anymore. It doesn't say that someone says, wait a second, what about that? I don't agree. It sounds like once Rabbi Gamliel made his decision, done. The people accept it and they sanctify the new moon. Now the Mishnah goes on and tells a second story. Va'od. And here's another. Va'od ba'u shnayim va'amru. And another two came and said it. It doesn't seem to make sense that it's in the same month. This is another case where something similar happened. Two witnesses came and listened to what they said. Ri'i nhu bizmano ubalel iburo lo nira. We saw it, we saw the moon at its right time, right? Meaning the day of the 29th happens and the night that's possibly going to be the 30th, they see the new moon. And now the next bit of the Mishnah, it's a bit confusing and there's a dispute amongst the medieval commentators of how to read this next bit. And then it says, and on the night where the moon is pregnant, right? The night where it's getting bigger, right, the boor, right, think about how the moon works. It's small, and then each day it's supposed to get bigger and better and bigger and bigger. So on the next night, when it's supposed to be a little bit more impregnated, a little bigger, lo nira, the moon wasn't seen. So on the night that was going to be the night of the 30th, they said they saw it, and then it turned that day into the 1st. And then the next night, which is supposed to be now the moon getting bigger, they don't see it at all. And now the question is, this line that it says on the night where it's supposed to be getting bigger, it wasn't seen. Is that the Edim talking? Is that the witnesses talking? The Rambam, Maimonides, thinks it's the witnesses, which means, though, what's funny about this is that means that they're coming Kilu 2 days later, right? They're coming to the court after 2 nights have passed and saying, 2 nights ago we saw it and last night we didn't see it, okay? Rashi and other people read it that, no, they came, they said they saw it, Ki'ilu, the court maybe sanctified it. And then that next night, when the nation or the court looked at the sky, they didn't see it getting bigger, right? So this is interesting. Either way, what's interesting about it, and possibly maybe this is why these Mishnayot, a small sub-reason why these Mishnayot are afterwards, is you might have thought after the moon's been sanctified, I don't need to look at the sky. This verb, to see, is mentioned 12 times in our chapter. It's a really important verb, and we already saw it in the chapter before, right? We talked about that the first two chapters are about sight, this importance of the Jewish people looking to the sky, of seeing things, right? We see he saw the bonfire. The bodily act of seeing is essential to this experience of time, which is interesting, right? And you might have thought that after you sanctified the new moon, okay, I'm done. I don't even look at the sky anymore. But either with the Rambam's read, the Edim kept looking at the sky, or with Rashi's read, the court and the nation keeps looking at the sky to check. The next night, I want to see it getting a little bigger. I want to see it being impregnated, right? And this imagery of impregnated makes us think of the midwife, and it's going to also appear in the end of this Mishnah. And so things are getting a little fishy. What's going on here? Yet, the Mishnah says, V'kiblan Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel accepted their testimony. Right? And then, if depending on the two reads, if he accepts the testimony, according to the Rambam's read, it's very radical, is Kiddush the Chodesh, he sanctifies the new moon Lamafreya, backwards 2 days. According to Rashi's read, possibly he's already sanctified it and he keeps it, even though he knows it looks like a mistake. And that's slightly less radical, but it still seems like a mistake happened. Okay? And here we see a difference. Before, there was some worry about the truth of what the Edim said. But then once Rabbi Gamaliel spoke and he accepted their testimony and he sanctified, people were silent. Here, Rabbi Gamaliel accepts their testimony and apparently sanctifies the moon based on it. And we have now a voice. Amar Rabbi Dosi ben Harkonus, Ede Shekerhen. These guys are lying. It's false testimony. What the heck? How can we accept it? And then he gives an explanation. Hey, ach meidim ali shashi elda ulamachar kreseha ben shineha. How can you possibly testify about a woman and say she gave birth, she delivered, she's had her baby, and then the next day you see the woman and her stomach is in her teeth? It's not the nicest imagery, but meaning she is at the very, very end of her pregnancy. Her stomach is so large it's pushing on her diaphragm up to her mouth, right? That's not how nature works. You don't testify that someone delivered and then the next day they are still fully pregnant at the very end of a pregnancy. Nature doesn't work that way. And the same thing with the moon. So now we've seen imagery of the moon being linked to woman's pregnancy, to the cycle of birth and rebirth. We'll come back to that when we talk about the whole chapter, but let's get to the end of this Mishnah. So he's like, this is crazy, Rabbi Gamaliel. What the heck are you doing? That makes no sense. Okay, I could explain, understand your other case. You explained it away. They saw a cloud, but how can you explain this away? And if you argue with me, you know the science and you've calculated it, then you're doing the new moon based on the calculations. You're not basing yourself on witness testimony. And we've learned this whole time that the witness testimony is essential. The Mishnah ends like this. Amar lo Rabbi Yoshua, ro'e ani et tvarecha. Right, so Rabbi Dosa spoke, saying they're Ede Sheker, and he gave the example of the woman. And now we find out that there's someone else there, Rabbi Yoshua. And we're next class, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him because the story is going to continue. Rabbi Yoshua says, I see your words, right? And now we have the word ro'e, seeing, as totally different type of seeing. We're not seeing the moon. We're not seeing the charts, right? It's a mental seeing. It's like when I say ro'eni et zvarecha, it means I agree with what you said. What you said makes sense, which means what the heck are you doing, Rabbi Gamaliel? So I'm going to have to leave you in suspense till next time. And next time we'll read the last Mishnah of the chapter where this dispute, where Rabbi Gamaliel is going to say something and he's going to act, and we're going to see the interplay between them. And then we'll read that one last Mishnah and we'll do our summary of the whole chapter. So till tomorrow, the whole month is hanging in the balance.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty. And thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning. And visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.